The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, this is Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo in the morning.
And I am Big JD in the morning.
Why are you stepping all over me like that?
Well, I didn't know you were going to go extra long with the whole title thing again.
Well, it's Big JD and Lippo.
And you always say, and I'm Lippo. But you did the whole, I'm Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo in the morning because it's Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Yes.
We're going to do it again. So that's what got stepped on.
Yes, because I am Lippo in the morning. You're just Big JD.
If you're Lippo in the morning, what are you the rest of the day?
Mike.
You should be Big Lippo. And I'll just be JD.
That's why I'm going to see that surgeon.
And what will he do to make you Big Lippo?
He's going to add some Botox.
To the lips?
Nope.
Or give you other lips?
No, I'm going to get in a sex change. not this year.
Sex change?
Yeah.
Stinky money?
Stinky money. Sex change, yeah. Do you need any change? No. Keep the tip. In, please.
In, please? Jesus. All right. The kids won't get that anyway.
I know.
We'll leave it in. We won't beep you out today.
Thank you very much.
We've been beeping you out every show.
Well, I'm not dropping F-bombs over here.
No, you're not.
No, I'm being...
And what is an F-bomb exactly? For the kids.
No, we don't need to. Everybody knows what an F-bomb is, I believe. And if you're a kid that doesn't know what the F-bomb is, just Google it. That's Google, GOOGLE.com. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, because I have a little buzz going this morning.
Yeah, so do I.
I had some...
Look it up on the internet, kids.
Cold brew this morning.
Okay.
What a way to start your day.
Cold brew, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the term given to this specific thing, or is cold brew just like cold coffee? You know what I mean? Is there some other specific name for what you had? Or
no, I think it's cold brew, yeah.
Okay.
It's a coarse ground coffee. I'm not sure if it has to be any specific type of coffee, but it's coarse ground coffee soaking in water for about a day. I think the minimum is 12 hours. And then they filter it, and it's like coffee concentrate. Hmm. They recommend you use one-third or one-quarter.
And don't drive after.
I was just going to say that. Like, I don't know if you should drive on this stuff. Actually, it does make you quite aware and alert and sweaty.
Do you remember the drive over to the studio?
Did I drive here? Actually, speaking of the drive is closed. Riverside Drive, that is.
Oh, part of it is here on the...
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to do a little detouring. Mm-hmm. What about you, Big JD? What are you up to? Do you have any cold
brew
today?
Just here doing the show. No, it's fire lean for me, boy.
Fire lean?
On the fat burners.
Oh, you're on the fat burners. Yeah. Pseudoephedrins.
They help, especially when I can't get to the gym.
Oh, well, you got to do what you got to do, right?
That's right. Yeah. And supplements.
And the hot stuff that we drink is not red tea as usual because you ran out.
And now we have more caffeine. You're drinking a lot more caffeine in the green tea, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
And so today in rock news...
Is that your new iPad you have
there?
We
can find these top stories from across the web. Lamb of God's Randy Blythe accidentally burns penis. There's never a dull moment with Lamb of God frontman Randy Blythe, who recently took to Instagram to report that he had burned his penis on boiling hot coffee.
Well, Instagram, that's a photo
sharing.
Is
our show on coffee today? But tell us about Instagram.
It's a photo sharing, social photo sharing network.
Right.
And
do you use Instagram?
Yes.
Okay.
Occasionally. And, well, it's an app on your phone.
Yeah, I'd like to know why you use that over, I mean, everybody's on Facebook. Why do you share it on Instagram? What does that do?
Some people, including my son, he's more into Instagram. So he follows a specific amount of people on Instagram, and he gets their
photo. The pictures.
For the pictures, yeah.
Okay.
And you're right. Facebook could do it, but Instagram integrates a whole lot of other feature set that Facebook just doesn't quite get. And oftentimes, people have their Instagram attached to their Facebook anyway. So that if they post something to Instagram, it automatically gets cross-posted to Facebook.
Yeah, that's handy stuff.
And so I'm saying it's a photo-sharing thing, and you're telling me that Lamb of God singer...
shared photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he actually shared those specific pictures.
Because they don't allow that stuff on there for the most part, unless it's very artsy.
Maybe he had shown a cup of coffee and posted the information. You can put your captions and all that, right? I don't use it. I don't know.
That's okay.
I'm not up on technology. But I do have some technology news actually coming up. But
let us have it.
Not yet.
Okay.
Still some more music news. Zakk Wylde and Buddy Guy lead Experience Hendrix Tour lineup. So the next leg of the Experience Hendrix Tour has been announced. And Black Label Society and former Ozzy Osbourne guitarist Zakk Wylde and Buddy Guy will lead the lineup of all-star musicians paying tribute to late guitar legend Jimi Hendrix. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Buddy Guy and Zakk Wylde. That's quite a combo.
That's a combo. That's for sure. One end of the spectrum to the other.
Slash is discouraged by today's lack of rock singers. I was thinking of contacting him maybe, but Slash recently spoke about the seemingly never-ending search for a new Velvet Revolver singer. They've been searching since 2008.
And of course, the Velvet Revolver singer was?
The guy from Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes,
Scott. Yeah, what's his name?
Weiland.
Yeah. That's a.
And Slash just had one of the awesomest singers ever for his last album, Miles Kennedy.
Davis.
No. Miles Kennedy's a really good singer. I love him. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with him? Yes,
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
And he has his own band, Alter Bridge.
Yep.
And they're really good.
He's a good singer. I didn't care for him. I saw Alter Bridge live, and while I really dig the guitar player, the band was from Creed, the Creed band or whatever.
That's correct.
The guitar player is great, man. Black Les Paul just wailed. And the singer's really good, but he didn't turn me on too much like as a live front man.
Yeah.
He just kind of walks around, sort of prancy almost, like doesn't really do anything, right. But he's a really, really good singer.
Yeah.
That's
too bad.
And I know during the day of that performance, they did, I want to say they did an acoustic show, which I think he would be great for because it doesn't really require any
front man movement, skills.
You know what
I
mean? But when you get some pretty heavy material, but the guy just stands there and sing, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to see something.
It really takes away a little bit. And one last thing, I talked about Hetfield last week in the news.
Did you?
If anybody remembers that.
I must have missed that.
And, well, Cliff Burton's original band Trauma is releasing a new album. Trauma, the band with legendary Cliff Burton, bassist for Metallica, was in before he joined the band he was in before Metallica, signed a deal with Pure Steel Records, whoever that is. Must be a subsidiary from something. And they'll release a new album this year. That's kind of neat. Like to see what that's all about. But I'd rather hear some demo stuff with Cliff in the band.
Some old stuff, you mean?
And a couple other things I mentioned I wanted to say about technology. Unless you got some music news first, do you want to?
I do have music news, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to be the big JD of music news as of last week. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. I'll let you get your stuff together there. But we had talked about Glenn Campbell last time and getting sick and stuff.
Sure. It wasn't last time, but it was on a...
Oh yeah,
recent shows we did the song about him,
songwriting thing.
Right. And I have some news about that too.
But all go right, on. Awesome. Glenn Campbell battles Alzheimer's disease in a Nashville care facility. His family members are battling themselves. I guess his wife Debbie Campbell, the singer's older daughter, and his wife are at odds of where he should be staying.
Oh really?
Like he's got Alzheimer's, but he
doesn't know where he is anyway. So what's it matter?
That's right. So it's. Who is more selfish?
Well, it's the care that he's getting, though, I guess.
I suppose. Know. Kim Wolin, his wife since 1982, wants him to remain in Nashville, but his daughter wants him to go back to Arizona, where he was living before he got put into this
I think place. That's the best idea, probably. Back to Arizona. There's a song for us right there. That's the one for the album, Back to Arizona.
The Glenn Campbell tribute album.
And we'll go to Arizona and write it.
You've been there before,
haven't you? On our other big trip.
Have you been there?
You've been there before?
I've been there, yes. Okay.
Been there more than once, actually.
Awesome.
Some technology news and music related, actually. YouTube about to delete independent artists from its site. Did you know about that?
Yes, I did. I heard about that yesterday.
Isn't that crazy? In only a matter of days, apparently, some of your favorite videos on YouTube could be gone, possibly for good. YouTube is preparing to radically change the site, adding a subscription service that is intended to help them compete in the streaming music industry. Google owned, right?
Google owns YouTube. So, correct.
Yeah, that's.
Are they going to shut down actual content? Like, there's some really good content that independent artists are supplying YouTube with.
Apparently, they are.
I can't imagine they're going to shut it down. Maybe initially they may say, okay, this is our new starting point, and this is what you're going to get. And then the independents will slowly, you know, make deals with YouTube. Because really, YouTube is a huge revenue a source for a lot of indie bands. It's a revenue source for a lot of people, but for indie bands, it's one of their revenue sources. Mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, 25 years ago, it wasn't even existing. But these bands, especially the independent bands, have to be taking note of where their money's coming from and what they have to do to be involved. So they make a YouTube deal. That's going to be the new thing. Did you get a YouTube deal?
I don't know if it's so much the bands, actually, that, you know, govern what happens with them being able to stay on YouTube or not. In order to show their muscle, Google has stated that any label, meaning smaller independent ones, that does not sign a deal with them will not only be left off the new service, but will have their content taken down from the original free YouTube.
That's right. So I'm saying, so these indie dudes are going to have to write a deal. They're going to have to make a deal.
But the labels, but not the artists. What happens with the indie artist?
Well, they have to sign a deal with YouTube. They're going to have to, YouTube and these indie artists.
I don't know are they going to be able to sell a deal, put together, like sign something specifically, like from the band?
Yeah.
The band will be able to do that.
Or their manager, whatever, you know.
If they don't have a manager, like what about just a purely independent band that put up a live video of them playing last week? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's whatever. Gone. That could be gone, yeah.
Yeah, that's not really right. And while initial reports state that music from artists like Adele, Jack White, and Vampire Weekend would all vanish, that isn't the whole story. Videos presented on the Vevo platform should remain payable as licensing agreements are separate. So while the Grammy-winning Rolling in the Deep music video and its 100 million views should be safe, the ramifications of other clips getting shut down are important.
Yeah, there's so many details that we don't even know about. It's very detail-ridden.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I have more news.
Wow.
This is the news. No, I just wanted to mention the Amazon Fire phone. That's something new.
Wow, technology news.
Yeah. The Amazon. Well, we listen to music on our phones, and it's a big, you know, part of our...
You were just talking about that pre-show.
So that's pretty interesting. Amazon jumping on the phone bandwagon, I guess.
And what do you think of that yourself? Do you think they don't have a chance in heck?
I'm not sure, man. I mean, the prices are okay. What they're offering is pretty good. It's not an iPhone, of course. It's not an Apple product, but seems pretty cool. And the price is probably as good or better as far as, you know, some of the phone price and AT and
T. Well, you know it's going to be better.
Things are offered now. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's like
unless
the
you specifically want Apple products, these guys are going to be a good contender for anything else that's going on. Finally, for me, the USA songwriting competition that we entered with our...
Glen
Campbell based song. Wow.
And it's called...
What's it called? It's called...
I know what it is. Peek Away.
Your Peek Away, yeah. Could I remember the lyrics to that right now? No. They extended
their deadline for entries for 2014.
To what is it? The 27th, I think, of...
It's the end of June, yeah. Yeah, a couple more weeks.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens and keep listeners abreast on our winning the $50,000 in goods.
Exactly. I'm glad...
Did you see the... Yeah.
Yes, I did see the winner from last year.
I liked
year.
That a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really good song. Yeah.
Neat video, too.
Should we make a video for ours?
Well, it's too late now anyway. I think they probably... You could have entered a video or...
Oh, you know really? What I
mean? So, yeah, maybe next time.
Oh, well, we should have thought of that. I didn't realize that the winner submitted a video with the song in it.
I think that's what happened last year. I don't think that was made afterwards, so...
Well, that's cheating.
It's not cheating, no, not really, because you can enter it any way you want. So.
Right, I just think that the more sensory... You know, when you're hearing music, you automatically... imagined what, you know, what the lyrics mean, and the song makes you feel a specific way. But I think when you're looking at something, you can make someone else feel totally different than they would if they weren't looking at something.
Yeah, you could steer them or guide them.
Exactly.
That's mislead them, perhaps.
Not mislead them. You could. It's just another artistic aspect that we're not even giving them.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that's all I'm saying. No big deal. That's a ton of news this week, Big JD. Way to go.
Yeah.
I'm glad. And
a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, especially locally. I think there's a lot of music stuff that's happening as well.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And so our show this week, a show topic. What is our show topic this week, Lippo?
Origins of music.
Okay.
Which is kind of a general topic, but it's a topic that, as far as the music is a big part of the show. And I think that if we talk about, you know, a certain genre of music, well, we got to play music in that genre, I believe. So we want to keep to the theme, whereas origins of music, it's more of a general thing. So we can kind of play stuff that we just like to play.
Well, there is a theme, though. And I'm following it, as usual. The thing about the origins of music, though, is one of the big things that comes to mind for me is that a lot of people will think back to the music they maybe used to listen to and don't anymore, or what types of music or bands were there, the bands that they like, what were they influenced by? But it doesn't usually go that much further back than that, you know what I mean? Or possibly to what your parents were listening to type of thing, you know? So which could be maybe 50s, 60s, if you're younger, 70s, 80s, whatever. But, you know, a lot of people probably don't think back further as to where did music come from?
Right.
Where did it originate?
I think that musicians, especially, and if you're a blues musician or a jazz musician, it's such a simplistic but yet complex genre of music that a lot of musicians want to know, where did this come from? What is the story behind this bag of bones or whatever you want to call it, you know, blues or jazz? You want to know, what's the story behind this? So I think those two genres really are looked into as far as what you're talking about. Where did Jimi Hendrix get his influences, and where did Buddy Guy get his influences, and where did Robert Johnson get his influence, and where did Son House get his influence?
And right, just keep going back and that's back. That's pretty cool. But what about back way back in the 1500s and 1600s and the classical music that was, you know, the writers of those eras, and then beyond that, I mean, prehistoric music. What was going on? How did music start? What was our first perception of something that was pleasing to the ear?
Right. So we're going to talk about prehistoric music, but why don't we play some music first? Nothing so prehistoric, though.
Au contraire. We are going to play some prehistoric music, actually. I have some lined up for the show. As I mentioned, I like to try and keep in the theme.
Right, so we got some Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble music?
No, I have some old stuff. This first piece here from 1924, from old 78 RPMs and cylinder recordings. I have a couple of different things, and this artist or composer was Ernest Thompson. So this is some old stuff, and this is called The Wreck of the Southern Old 97.
Little more fun. song the faith that is lost in every human being on a dime.
So how do you like that for some old music?
That's really old music. What was that instrument in there, do you think? Is that an accordion?
I don't know. Was it an accordion or was it a harmonica?
Could have been harmonica. Could have been, you know what else it sounded like?
Could have been a fiddle.
No, it didn't sound so fiddlish. But it could have been. Who knows? You know,
it's old and old sounding. It's hard to make out what it was exactly.
What specific instruments are, for sure. But actually going way back to prehistoric times.
That's where I want to go.
Prehistoric music is a term in the history of music for all music produced in pre-literate cultures. That's before the written word. Beginning somewhere in very late geological history. Prehistoric music is followed by ancient music, which, you know, we have some indication that we know that specific kind of music was played in ancient music and in different parts of the world, but it still exists in isolated areas. Prehistoric music thus technically includes the world's music that has existed before the advent of any current extant historical sources concerning that music of the early stage of development of the human. So, however, it is more common to refer to prehistoric music still serves as folk or indigenous or traditional music. Like Indian music, what did the people who were living in North America before white people even got there? What were they listening to, or not listening to, but what were they playing? Because you wouldn't play music specifically by yourself, I don't think, back in those times. What do you think? Do you think that some guy was practicing these beats by himself? Because I think as humans, we have some kind of music connection within us, because if you have like a 6 month old baby and you put on something very rhythmic, you can see babies, they move and they,
right,
and they have the rhythm.
That's
and,
very
and,
funny actually
yeah. And where did that come from? Mm-hmm. It's obviously born in them, and it's some part of your brain that's hardwired that way. So this has been in humans for who knows how long, or has it? Is it something that we've evolved to, humans, unless you don't believe in the theory of evolution, evolved to where we are now? Do we think that the connection that we make with music has also evolved?
I think music somehow for us has evolved, but in the early stages, I mean, you know, I don't think we evolved into making, liking, or knowing. Well, I guess at some point we had to evolve to making music. At some point there was no music, or somebody was not making music, and all of a sudden heard something, started knocking on something maybe, and that became music. But somebody at some point in the earliest stages at prehistoric times had to play music for themselves, you know, obviously got into liking something, that noise that they were making perhaps and whatnot, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, one theory is that back in the day that people had to prepare their foods, their grains, or had to chop wood or something. So these were work tasks that involved repetitive motion. So a lot of these people, whether they're chopping wood or grinding some kind of grain in a pedestal or whatever, and it could be a group of women maybe sitting around and they're all doing their own thing, and it had some kind of rhythm to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been the same as the dudes under the boat with the oars, you know. So they're working, but their work actually has a rhythm to it, and it helps them get along in, you know, whatever they got to do.
Do you think that music originated from sounds or singing? Because I could see, you know, singing going on way back in, you know, times like when you talk about working with the oars and, you know, the boats and chanting. Sure. And, you know, that type of thing. Do you think, I guess I would consider that music.
Of course.
You know, but yeah. I would think maybe that voice music came before sound music, possibly.
Possibly. What came first, the music or the singing, right?
I guess. Or like in a possibly in a group setting, you know, yeah, and chanting and singing.
In a group setting, you know, have your
monks.
Or rain dance.
Okay, yeah. That's old stuff.
What was the other one?
That's beating on drums, too, though.
That's beating on drums, but they also sang.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Indians.
And I'm just thinking of the when they hook up young males with young females, there's like that was also a ceremonial.
Yeah, there's ceremonies and occasions of whatever kinds. What were they doing to celebrate, right? Music, right. And pounding on things or something has to be, you know what I mean?
Yes.
As simple as clapping, perhaps, could have been one of the earliest forms of music.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's a lot of stuff to consider. And so when did something more musical come along as far as instruments go, do you think?
Well, we might get into that during the show. But right now, let's play some music. And you have something here lined up for us, a song called Morning.
That's from Beck's new album. And it's, what's that called? Morning Phase is the name of the album. And this is Morning from Beck.
Thank you.
Right, that's Ash 33, which is my buddy Ashley Levy. He's from Santa Rosa, California, and he hooked up with a guy who owns a studio, and he wrote this album, and it's awesome. Apparently, one of the tunes on there has gotten picked up by somebody over in Europe, and it's going to get reproduced, or it's got some kind of publishing deal he has made using this album here. So good on you, Ash. That's Ash 33. You can find them on iTunes.
And when we come back, more on the origins of music.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Okay, and we're back.
Okay, you. Before we, that little break there, what do you say that the topic of this week's show is?
The origins of music.
Just the way that you're saying origins.
You like origins better?
Well, it's just...
Is it correct? Origins. Yeah, I guess that's not really correct.
I don't know. I'm just... What you're saying
it is... It should be origins.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. Origins.
Yeah. You're just reading a word and you say it the way you want to
not
say
even
it.
Reading it. Just saying it the way I want to say it.
The English language...
Is that awk with you?
That's awkward with me. Okay.
Okay, so early music. Early music is music of the, or what is referred to as early music, European classical tradition from after the fall of the Roman Empire in 476 AD until the end of the Baroque era in the middle of the 18th century. Music within this enormous span of time was extremely diverse, encompassing multiple cultural traditions within a wide geographic area. Many of the cultural groups out of which medieval Europe developed already had music traditions, mm-hmm. about which little is known.
Right. It's funny how that during the Roman Empire, there was the whole Greek civilization thing. It's amazing how humans advanced in sciences and other aspects of bettering humans, I guess you'd say. And I'd have to think that music also made leaps and strides towards more complexity and understanding the elements of music itself, you know, notes and stuff like that. But then while all that stuff was going on in Greece and in the Roman Empire, there's also music that was happening in Asia as well. Yeah, so there was a whole other civilization that was also progressing and that also had music. And I think that probably preceded music in in the Roman Empire area, Eastern or Southern Europe, or wherever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. How much? Yeah.
I'm just thinking that there was like art from 5,000 BC mm-hmm. found in parts of China, whereas there was art found in the Roman Empire area, you know, Europe, I guess you'd call it, that had it was made, I think, of ivory, and it was little sculptures of dudes playing flutes.
Okay,
but that was only 2,300 years before Christ, whereas in China there was stuff from 5,000 BC.
You're leading me to a number of questions. One is that how much do you think the early church played in, you know, in the role of music, mm-hmm. Because of chanting and those kinds of things. But also, what that leads me to wonder, just the fact of their architecture and the ambience, the reverb. I wonder what part that may have played in music, the sound of echo. Yeah. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
Because when somebody said or did something, and wow, that sounds kind of neat. What if I did this, right? Or
exactly.
Something. For sure. And the other thing is, what was the other thing now? It was, when you talk about other art forms, I wonder how early they were lumping music into, you know, that same group, art. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
I wonder if that was when that was considered art, as was drawings and wall art and
sculptures, you know, and stuff like
all that stuff. Yeah, that's an interesting question. That would take some heavy research. And right now we're going to listen to some more music, actually. And this is another old piece of music from 1928, the Carter Family. And this is from an old cylinder recording. And it's called Wildwood Flower on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. Thank you.
All right, we're going to listen to some more music. Another songwriter friend of mine who is also a songwriter friend of Gordy Johnson. He wrote a few Big Sugar tunes that were put on albums. His name's Patrick Ballantyne, and he just came out with a CD of his own. It's called Days of Rain. It's also available on iTunes. And the tune that he picked as a single is also, someone made a video for it as well. And this is called Wrestling with the Devil.
Well, the day is long. Miles and miles of empty words to feed us. If I had my way, I'd be gone. But if I am wrong about every single minute spent between us, maybe I play along. Well, wrestling with the devil, he pins me down every time. Wrestling with the devil, he lets me up and I'm fine. And I'm wondering if he's gone. I love your face, something in the way you lay beside me. If I had my way, I'd stay. But I got a call, found someone to know someone to help me make it another day. Well, wrestling with the devil, he pins me down every time. Wrestling with the devil, he lets me up and I'm fine. And I'm wondering if he's gone. I'll calm you down, I'll put on some tea and make some supper. Maybe you'll stay, please stay. But if I am wrong about every single minute spent between us, maybe I'll play along. Well, wrestling with the devil, he pins me down every time.
And we're back. We're talking about the origins of music.
Talk about the origins of music.
So we scroll through...
scroll through life.
We do.
And the next thing, it's the end of the
page. We scroll through eras and whatnot. So Renaissance music, and we scroll through Baroque music and the classical music era as we know it.
Right.
Romantic music, 20th and 21st century music. And classical is, there's, people don't realize probably that classical music is a term given to many countries of music, not just what we perceive as classical music that we listen to like on the radio now and whatnot, but right. in India and Asia, and they all have their types of classical music.
Which is music that was around before there was a way to record it.
Usually. When you think about the earliest music you could think of, what is it? Quick. Earliest thing ever. Music. Way back. Ever.
Music. Quick. Why does it have to be quick?
I don't know, because I don't want you to think. I just want you to... What's the earliest thing you would think about when you think about music?
I would think of some guy playing a harpsichord.
Okay.
You know, just sitting in some king's house somewhere and playing somewhere. That's what mm-hmm. I think of the earliest music.
Very interesting.
And you?
Oh, the earliest thing I think of is like people sitting... the first thing that comes to mind for me is when you find old pottery and all that stuff. The archaeologists find old things.
Yes.
That's what I think. I think of that, which is like the knocking on pots and kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
That just comes to mind for me when I think of the earliest origins of music. I can't even say that now. But yeah, so something else that I wanted to play on the show today is My Funeral. We're going to play you My Funeral. No, from Dark Funeral, which is the other end of the spectrum from what I've been playing. You know, over time we bring music to extremes, and yes. I mean, nowadays there's even more extreme stuff than this actually, but this is from 2009, but it's some pretty intense extreme.
Before we play, heavy, can I ask you a
dark
question?
Music. Yeah,
I went to a show on Tuesday night, mm-hmm. and there was a song playing, and this guy behind me, I heard him say, "Oh, they're playing the song that I want you to play at my funeral."
Oh, really?
This is my funeral song, is what he said.
Wow.
So my question to you is there a song that you want people to play at your funeral?
Wow. They can play anything of mine.
I'm going to be narcissistic to the grave.
Never really thought about it, but okay. Maybe I'll write something.
Okay, there you go. Play this at my funeral. Anyway, go ahead and continue introducing your tuna.
Yeah, this is the song My Funeral from Dark Funeral, and this is from their album Angelus Exero Pro Eternus.
That's Latin.
That's crazy. What does it mean? You know Latin?
A little bit. I mean, it's easy enough to figure that out.
You want to tell us?
Say it again, please.
Angelus. Angelus.
Well, it's angels.
Okay. Exero.
No, don't know that.
Pro.
Mm-mm.
Eternus. Forever.
Angels are something forever.
And there you go. Angels are something forever. That was the name of the album. Anyway, My Funeral from Dark Funeral. We'll be right back. Heavy stuff there from Dark Funeral.
That's heavy and dark.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be played at one of the band members' funeral.
Maybe so.
Maybe it already has. Are they even still around?
I don't know that much about the band, so I'm not sure. But I know they have quite a few albums since, I want to say early 2000s or something like that.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Something along those lines.
Cool.
So let's
wrap up our origins.
We'll wrap up the origins of music. Let's talk about a little bit about today. What's going on today in music?
What is the origins of music today? Like, where does music come from today? It's a lot of people say that there's nothing new. Everything's already been done. How often have you heard that?
Yeah, in a way it has. I mean, we've, you know, used every note and we've used every, you know what I mean? But it's the combinations that we do and the words we come up with. And I mean, there's always a new spin that we can put on all of that. But
there is a new spin, yes.
So much comes from what we've already heard, or, you know what I mean? It's right. Hard not to incorporate that in something that you do, right?
Especially when it comes to music, because it's something that is in you. And then when you draw inspiration, it just comes out of you. I'm just wondering if there is some aspect of music that we just don't see. Like, you know, there's just stuff that we don't know. You know, I read a quote recently about, I forget who it was, Calvin somebody said
Klein.
Something about physics, and then Einstein came along and he totally blew all that out of the water. And then somebody said something very definitive about something else, and then we found out about something else that just totally blew that out of the water. Because, and as humans, we think that, you know, people say definitive stuff about a very specific topic, whether it be science or physics or the space or whatever, and we think that this is the way it is because we're humans and we know all about this because we've done all that we can to do about it. But our minds are closed a lot of times to other things because we just feel that there's a certain finality or a certain, this is all that we could possibly do. And, but then something comes along and wow, our minds are open and then it just breaks open to something totally new and different. I think music has that built into it. It's going to go on and be something new for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. Something big will come along again. I don't think it has recently, but
no. It's been pretty
another stagnant. Elvis or something, you know?
Which is too many outside forces that are hindering that process right now, I think. Something has to free music somehow. And maybe we're in the middle of that. I'm not sure.
And let's talk about next week's show.
Well, next week's show, I think a good topic that we could discuss is the importance of music in people's lives.
Okay. So that could mean important, extremely important, or not have no importance whatsoever.
And what are the series of events that lead to making it important, whether it was your parents or it was something you took in school, or is it innate?
Or is it in 9?
Or it could be in 10.
I think I'm going to try and find an interview for that show with somebody that couldn't care less about music.
Yeah, I know a few people like that too.
In fact, would even call because they hear music and don't want it.
What is that noise?
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to talk about that. I love it.
Okay.
I love these type of topics.
So that's next week on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.